Christ is in you. If you are zealous for peace and for doing what is good in the eyes of the Lord. Christ is in you if you are zealous for peace and for doing what is good in the eyes of the Lord. To be zealous and eagerly desire and be committed to what is good and not evil, to peace and not war or dissension, is to honor Jesus in one's heart. Fear has no hold on the believer who withdraws from the world and draws together with the Spirit. To withdraw from the world's ways is to honor, it's to sanctify with the Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who continue to do good and pursue peace during evil times, even though we may suffer, are sanctified with Christ, blessed in the Spirit. These are the words that the Apostle Peter speaks to those that are being pursued by Caesar, by the Roman government, by Roman citizens, that have pointed to Christianity being the problem. Is Christianity the problem today? Many people would say so. But Christianity, Christ, is the solution. So then, the question is, what is the reason for your hope in Christ? What is the reason for your hope in Christ? Why do we hope in Christ? Why do you continue to come to church on Sundays? Why do you continue to pick up your Bible? Why do you continue to pray? Why do you continue to build up one another? Why do we continue to follow the way? What is the reason for your hope in Christ? Is it because we hope for peace? Is it because we hope for joy? Love? Why do we pursue Jesus? Why do you pursue Jesus? Peter is writing to believers, mostly Gentile believers, who are experiencing their world on fire. They have sought peace with God. They've answered the call of faith in Jesus, God's Son, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, and are now beginning to experience persecution and difficulty. New kings and kingdoms and ways of thinking are not welcomed in established kingdoms. That's why Christianity is the problem. It's because we function by a different set of rules. We serve a different king. We are in a different kingdom that is trying to dispose of the current kingdom here on earth. This earth is not yet God's, but yet it is. He made it. He controls it. But he allows Satan to have dominion at this time. Satan isn't more powerful than God. Satan actually will bow his knee and worship the Lord God. And does. He bows the knee. He will come and bow his knee to the King of Kings. The world is under the rule of Satan, allowed by God for a fulfilled prophetic time. But Satan's rule over this world will be finally overthrown by the return of Jesus at his prophetic second coming. Book of Revelation tells us that. Book of Matthew. Book of 1 and 2 Peter. Isaiah, the prophet, says that. Jesus' disciples, his friends, take an active part in overthrowing Satan's rule by turning away from evil, pursuing peace, and doing what is good in the Lord's eye. That's how we dispose and overthrow the world kingdom. By turning away from evil, by pursuing peace, and doing what is good in the Lord's eye. See, the zealous pursuit of peace and doing good things. The zealous pursue peace and do good things. They bring the Lord to be king of their heart, following the guidance of the Spirit, the power of God in our lives. The pursuit of peace with everyone and zealousness to do good will lead to people questioning who we are and why do you do what you do. People will want to know, why do good when everything is falling apart? Why pursue peace when people are cursing you and blaming you for the problems the world is facing? Why pursue peace? Why do good? People will want to know, why do good and pursue peace? What hope is in doing these two things? People will fear death, joblessness, insecurity, their neighbors, even disease and rumors of war. People will be pitied or set against one another, but the Christian committed to peace and goodness will promote and seek reconciliation and even accept suffering instead of doing evil. This was what Jesus was instructing his disciples to do and be, to teach. This is what Peter is teaching his disciples and the church of that time. They're being hunted by Caesar. They're being hunted by Roman citizens. They're the ones causing insurrection. But yet Jesus says, seek peace and pursue it. And never give up doing good. Just as Christ endured suffering for the sins and wrongdoings of others, Jesus' friends still endure the same, willingly for the chance to share the hope of Jesus' saving love with the lost. Accusations and lies will be cast upon our testimonies of Jesus, but the actions of the disciple of Jesus will vindicate our hope. So am I willing to suffer for pursuing peace and doing good, as this is the way to allow Jesus to rule my heart, to establish his kingdom, and to overthrow the shackles of this present king and kingdom? Am I willing to allow Jesus to rule my heart? 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God, after being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. Am I honoring Jesus in my heart? The Apostle Peter poses this question as well. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming of the day of God? 2 Peter 3:11 to 12. What sort of people ought we to be? What kind of lives are we to live within an evil day? Pursue good. and peace. Since the world is going to be set on fire and dissolved, Peter goes on to say, everything will be lost and everything destroyed. What loss is there in living for Jesus, for his good, for his peace, even if it costs you everything, because everyone's going to lose everything anyways. Everything that we have at one point, at one day, at one hour, will dissolve and disappear. So why do we bother trying to hold on to it? That is what gets in the way of our relationship with Jesus. He says, I want you to put that aside. I want you to give that away. And we say no. He says, I want you to go here and I want you to do that. And we say no. Because I don't want to lose what I have. And Jesus says, you're going to lose it anyways. First Peter 3:13 to 15 to 18. This is our scripture passage. And who will harm you if you are deeply committed to what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be disturbed, but honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God after being put to death in the fleshly realm, but made alive in the spiritual realm. What is the reason for your hope in Christ? What is the reason for that hope? To honor the Lord as Messiah in your hearts. Fear results when we do not honor the Lord as Messiah in our hearts. That's where it all comes from. When the Lord is not number one in our heart, in our life, he's not the number one choice, he's not the number one reason why we live, fear results. The heart. He talks about make the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. The heart is the seat of the desires, of feelings, of affections, of passions and impulses. That's what they're talking about there. The heart is where you feel and you are alive. It's the center of your life. He says, honor the Lord in your heart. Place him above all those desires, all those feelings, all those affections, passions, and impulses. Make them submit to Jesus. And Jesus says, the pure in heart are those who have allowed Jesus to become Lord of the seat of their heart. He talks about the pure in heart. The pure in heart are those that have taken all those emotions and feelings and affections and desires and passions and submitted them to the Lordship of Christ. Anything and everything that I am is Christ's. I serve him, I follow him, I do as he wants me to do. Is that my reason for my hope in Christ? Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do we treasure? What is it that I treasure? If it's anything but Jesus, I've got the wrong treasure on the throne. John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. When I am troubled in my heart, the seat of my life, Jesus has been dislodged from Lord over my desires, over my feelings, affections, passions, and impulses. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. When my heart is troubled and I have anxiousness and I have worries, I've taken God off the throne. When I allow my mind to wander to worry, Jesus is replaced by anxiety. And anxiety does us no good. Jesus even says, who, by worrying, can add a day to their life? Each day has enough worries of its own. Why do that? Jesus commands us to take all thoughts captive. Why does he tell us that? Because thoughts can be given the power to free us or bind us. My thoughts can give power to either free me or to bind me. Satan likes to play with our thoughts. He tempts us. He toys with us. And we're supposed to take all those thoughts, we're supposed to take those things and take them and submit them to Christ and see what he has to say about it. Will this bind me or will this free me? 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So how does one destroy a stronghold? A stronghold is like a fortress. It's a castle. How do you overcome those desires, those feelings, those affections, passions, and impulses? What keeps on tripping us up? What keeps on causing us to hit the reset button? Don't concentrate on that so much, but concentrate on God's power, on his Holy Spirit, because that is who allows us and can cause us to be free. It's God's power, his Holy Spirit, by obeying his leading. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we are also weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. What is the power of God? It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus was crucified in weakness, but he lives by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus walked on this earth, he was living and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why he could do the things that he did, that he did not submit to sin, that he did not submit to temptations. Because he was walking in the power of the Spirit. Are we walking in the power of the Spirit, the power of God? Romans 5:19-20. For just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many were made righteous. Jesus was obedient through the power of the Holy Spirit. And just as we saw our master doing, the servant can do likewise. Are we connected into the Holy Spirit? Are we connected? Are we walking? Are we listening? Are we conversing with the Holy Spirit? He's the power of God in our lives that Jesus gave to us when he went away. He blessed the disciples with the power of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And he said, this Spirit, this Counselor, the Spirit of God is going to come and lead you into all truth, into all righteousness, and remind you of everything that I've ever told you to do or not to do. How to live and not to live. Do we know the Holy Spirit? Strongholds are destroyed by living in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit enabled the Lord Jesus to live, to follow, to obey. Do we know the power? Do we know the person? Do we know God in this way? I was always hesitant about the Holy Spirit. Always. Because I felt like he was some of this ethereal whatever. I knew he wasn't like a force, like in Star Wars. I knew he wasn't like something that you conjured up. But I read from the Bible that he was the third person of the Trinity, that he's God. God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. How do you converse with the Holy Spirit? How do you have an interaction with the Holy Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? You know, Christianese? Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. And you're going, I would love to. But as we pursue good and we pursue peace and we pursue the holiness of God, being dedicated to Him, then we come to know the Spirit. We recognize His voice and we're led by the Spirit. But like you, like me, at some point in our life, like we didn't recognize the Spirit's call. We didn't recognize His voice because maybe we were just too busy doing things, too busy being someone. And the Spirit is talking to us and saying, hey, I need you to be this, or I want you to do this, I want you to be this, I want you to go here. You know that sin you're dealing with? Why don't you try this instead? As we become and walk in obedience with Christ, with His Word, we recognize the Spirit's voice. We overcome strongholds through the Spirit. So then, does the Lord Jesus rule the seat of our heart by the power of the Holy Spirit? Does He rule our feelings, our affections, and our desires, our passions, our impulses? Have we submitted to the Spirit? If Jesus does not yet rule the seat of our heart, how can we be ready to defend our hope in Him? How can you defend the hope that you have in Christ if He doesn't rule on the seat of your heart? You can't. That leads you to ask, does my hope actually exist? Am I a follower of Jesus or just a fan? Followers have Jesus ruling on the seats of their hearts, but the fans don't. We just want to see a good game. We just want to enjoy the good blessings. Jesus rules through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, have I embraced, come alive to the power of the Holy Spirit within me. He is the actual living hope. The power of God within me, the Apostle Paul says. The difference between being a mere fan of Jesus and a follower of Jesus, being awakened to and following the power of God, the Holy Spirit within us. Ephesians 3:16-17, the Apostle Paul says, I pray that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power in the inner man through His Spirit, and that the Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, the width, the height, the depth of God's love, and to know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the Holy Spirit, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The power of God works in us. Even if we don't realize it, even if we're not aware of Him to this day, the power of God works in us if we are Christ's child. And we've made that commitment. But we may not recognize His voice or taking the time to get to know Him. Are we aware of Him? Are we in communication to Him? Do we hear Him speak? Have we practiced hearing God? If I'm struggling with the strongholds of sin in my life, there is a good possibility that I'm distant from the power of God in my life, from the Holy Spirit. There is a very good possibility, a strong possibility, and I would almost bet 100% on it. His power makes us pure. His power makes us strong. His person makes it so that Jesus dwells on the seat of our lives, of our hearts. So is Jesus ruling on the seat of my life? If not, then it's likely I'm not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. See, I liked Jesus when I became a follower. I was on fire. I read Revelation and just consumed that thing like crazy because I wanted to make sure I was on the right side when the game ended. And once that initial fervor and that initial heat started to die away, then that's when things really got tough and interesting. That's when you really had to start leaning into who is Jesus. And you start doing things on your own. Instead of recognizing and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit speaking to you. Spirit talking to you. Being open to the Spirit moving. Why are most of us caught up in that little trap that seems to be reset all the time and we step right into it? Because we're not obeying and listening to the Spirit. Do I understand, do I really understand the length, the width, the height, the depth of God's love for me? That He would provide the Holy Spirit for me, the power of God. Likely not if the Holy Spirit does not have my attention in living. The kind of love that Jesus calls us to does not make sense outside of the ruling of the Holy Spirit in my heart. Because how is it possible to pray for your enemy? How is it possible to feed your enemy? How is it possible to clothe your enemy or have compassion on them without listening to the Holy Spirit? Without walking with the Holy Spirit? How can I have compassion on my brother and sister and bless them without listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying? This book is not just a mere book. It is the Word of God. The Spirit of God works through this book and speaks. I've been the recipient and giver of blessings only because of the movement of the Holy Spirit and obedience. Strongholds come down by the power of the Holy Spirit and one's obedience to His voice and promptings. Peter is encouraging the followers, the faithful, who have made the choice to follow Christ. They're Gentiles for the most part. They're Romans. Being pursued by Romans, by the Roman government. Did we make the right choice? I thought being a Christian was all going to be good, peaches and cream. Nothing bad would happen. Like I said last week, have you read this book? How can I share a ready defense of the hope I have in Christ unless I'm walking in the power of the Spirit? Without walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, I have no understanding of the depth of God's love for me, Jesus' death for me, and the Spirit's work in me. I don't have that. Without that understanding, I will have no hope, no defense, and no reasons to give for the hope I think I have in Christ. I think I hope in Him. I hope that at the end of this, that I end up on the right side. We need to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and the promises of God. That what He says is true. And we need to walk in faith in that. Faith is a yes or no fact. It's not wishful thinking. To be zealous for good and peace is to have Christ at the center of our hearts, feeding our hope and the reason for our faith. Strongholds fall as Jesus ascends our throne room of our heart, and I follow the Spirit's leading. A disciple of Christ believes this world is not the prize. The world to come, the kingdom to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ is the prize. That's the goal. So why bother striving to hold on to those things of the world that at the end of time aren't going to matter? Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. To keep Jesus on the throne of our hearts is to remain faithful to the Lamb in dealing with evil and with power in his ways, especially in patiently enduring pain and suffering at the hands of others. In all of this, Jesus doesn't say, pick up arms. Jesus says, submit to me. Follow my Spirit. A ready defense of my hope in Christ is evidence of following the Spirit of God. Even though persecuted and accused, I will choose to live for good, peace, and the love of God. I will follow Jesus' example, even though it costs me everything. This is the disciples' example. This is the King we follow. Jesus be praised and glorified in our lives. Amen.